Thanks for this opportunity and the helpful answers and talks. Can you speak a little more about the essential differences between working with Vedana, the hindrances, and mind states, and the differences and similarities between, quote-unquote, spiritual use of these and more psychological, personal, growth-oriented? Is there a difference? On a certain level, there isn't a big difference between, say, working with Vedana or feeling or the hindrances or mind states, in the sense that what one's trying to see or what is helpful to see is their underlying characteristics, so that whether it's feeling or mental states or the hindrances themselves, it isn't so much about the content, it's about the characteristic of impermanence, uncertainty, its changing nature, that characteristic, or the characteristic of its unsatisfactory nature, the tinge of suffering or dissatisfaction that's there, and the non-self aspect, whether it's a feeling or hindrances or a mental state, a mind state, one can't sort of build an I, a me, a mine around them, of course, without creating more complication and suffering. The differences are more in terms of content, you know, in the sense that it's very discrete and you know, there are these different feelings. They're very separate. There's a pleasant feeling, an unpleasant feeling, a neutral feeling. So that there's differences. There's, with the hindrances, there's a whole different expression and range of emotion and feeling that goes with ill will and aversion or doubt. But the differences in terms of working with them would be one's own interest or one's own what feels more important to one, and that would be very personal. And also, even for ourselves, it changes over time. Some things that you feel important or meaningful at one particular time, and then that can change. So that there's those kind of differences, but it's more, say, quantitative rather than the similarity that underlies it is its characteristics, its nature. So, and we need to pay attention to the nature of things. Maybe differences and similarities between spiritual use of these and more psychological, personal, growth-oriented. Of course, yeah, there's differences and similarities in the sense that differences, a very clear difference would be in terms of, say, a spiritual use from a Buddhist perspective, would be seeing of a non-self nature. And oftentimes, sort of psychological, personal, growth-oriented would be sort of building up the sense of self or trying to establish a successful self, whatever that is. But then, of course, a similarity is that, you know, the tools would be for a sense of well-being, and a sense of well-being, a sense of happiness. I mean, that's sort of bottom line in whatever we do as human beings, and we're seeking happiness and well-being, and you know, we seek it in different ways. You know, we use the tools of Buddhist practice to quite consciously create a sense of well-being, but it has a very nurturing quality to it, when we pay attention to generosity and giving and sharing, or to virtue and precepts. So it has a very positive effect on our life, on our mind. And so that that psychological benefit or personal growth, to really grow in terms of virtue and generosity and kindness, that brings a lot of happiness. So that seeing clearly how that dynamic of how these fundamental qualities that the Buddha points to and Buddhist tradition points to, they help us on a very personal and psychological level just to feel a sense of well-being and lack of fear and a sense of trust and confidence. And those are when it comes from a very clear spiritual quality, then it has a very stabilizing effect.